Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kim Parr. This morning, my guest is Bob Murray, the chief economist with Dodge Data and Analytics. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
You put out a report every year that's called the Construction Outlook, and you write it in October of 16. And I'd like to talk about some of your forecasts for 2017. And then toward the end of this interview, I'd love to talk about how they might have changed just a little bit based on the president-elect situation. I know the first paragraph in your foreword talks about how 16 was tapering off just a little bit. Tell us what your call is for construction starts in 2017.
Yes, I mean, when we look at the construction start figures, but also construction spending, what we saw was some deceleration take hold during 2016. Back in 2015, we were reporting construction starts up 11%, and the estimate for 2016 is just a 1% increase. And if you look at the construction spending numbers that are put out by the U.S. Department of Commerce, they also had an 11% increase in 2015, and now through the first 10 months of this year, it's up only 4%. And with that deceleration, I think there was some concern that maybe this expansion had run its course. But as we looked at various drivers affecting the construction industry, our take is that it is making the transition into a more mature phase of expansion. And really what pulled down the overall construction numbers in 2016 were some steep declines for manufacturing buildings and also electric utilities and gas plants. And if you take those two project types out of the total, What we are seeing is that total construction starts for 2016 are up 5%. And, you know, basically in terms of the broad pattern that we've seen this year, housing has continued to move at a pretty good clip. We've seen further increases on the single-family side. The multifamily side is beginning to sort of round the peak, although with the important caveat being that a lot of the strength that we saw in 2015 was due to a huge amount of construction in the New York City metro area. I think when you look at multifamily housing outside of the New York City metro area, there is still room for further expansion.
I'd like to just dive into that just a little bit more, if you would. I'm seeing where on page 10 of your report, you talk specifically about single-family housing starts, and you're making a call that 16, the number is going to be around 730,000 units. What is your call going into 17? I mean, it looks like you're up 9% to 795. Is that right?
Yeah, in terms of the units, and this is the FW Dodge basis, I might mention.
Right.
We have a 9% increase, and as you just said, at the 795,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been seeing is that the millennial generation is beginning to show a little bit more willingness to jump into the home ownership ranks. I mean, basically, when you're talking about the millennial generation, you're talking about those individuals born between 1980 and 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, you know, the older members of the millennials are now entering their 30s. And, you know, notwithstanding, I guess, the often repeated stories about them preferring to live in urban markets, we are beginning to see some movement among the millennials in terms of buying homes in suburban locations. And so that is providing some demographic support for the single-family market, which to this point has only had a very subdued recovery.
Also, you, in multifamily, you're talking about a unit shift of just a downward shift, looks like, right?
Well, in terms of the units, basically, we had a 5% decline in 2016, and we're looking at a 2% drop in 2017. Although, again, if you pull out the New York City metro area, there are still markets that are showing increased activity. You know, one of the, I guess, interesting elements of 2016 is that we've been seeing fairly substantial growth in such markets as Chicago and Atlanta, which were a little bit slower to get on the multifamily bandwagon, so to speak. So really what we're seeing in terms of multifamily housing is that it is broadening in geographic scope. And I would not get perhaps, I guess, too hung up on the fact that the national total does seem to have reached a peak and it is beginning to recede. You know, basically that had to do with the surge of activity in the New York City metro area back in 2015. Other areas of the country are still showing signs of expansion for multifamily housing.
Well, I can tell you, Bob, in the flooring business, we like that single-family housing number because this almost twice as much flooring that goes into a single-family home than a multifamily home. So that's a good number for us to watch.
You know, I think in terms of single-family housing, I mean, again, it's been a subdued recovery to date. And usually in any construction upturn, except for this particular one, single-family housing has been the leading edge of that construction upturn. This time around, single-family housing has taken a little bit longer to gain momentum. Yeah. But it looks like it is, you know, certainly picking up in, you know, 2016 going into 2017.
All right, tell us what's going on with, I think another one that we track a lot because of the type of flooring that goes in is office buildings. Tell us what's going on with that, if you would.
With the office building market, it certainly has been, like single-family housing, a subdued recovery to date. But, you know, as far as the office building increases in square footage, this year we're looking at a 9% increase in square footage to 100 million square feet. And for 2017, the expectation is a 10% gain to 110 million square feet. You know, what has been pushing the office market upward has been the start of major headquarters projects around the country. Certainly there's been a lot of development within New York City, such as at the Hudson Yards mega development on the west side of Manhattan. But, you know, there's also been examples of, you know, corporate headquarters that are certainly reaching groundbreaking at the moment. I guess the caution would be is that, yes, there is more office building taking place, but compared to prior peaks, we're still well below what has been reported before. So it's moving upward, though still at a low level.
I also read where you say hospitality. You think hotel construction is going to start tapering off this year, don't you?
Well, the lodging market has had a number of pretty good years in terms of construction growth, and we have been seeing examples of market fundamentals beginning to become a little bit less supportive. The increases that we've been looking at nationally in terms of revenue per available room have been decelerating, which suggests that the hotel market, you know, like multifamily housing, probably has reached a peak and it is going to be settling back into 2017. Although, again, if you're talking about multifamily housing and hotels, these are two of the, I guess, more positive project types in this kind of, again, subdued recovery that we've been seeing overall.
Mm-hmm. What are you seeing as far as education and healthcare?
For education, certainly there's been a number of bond measures that have been passed around the country. And in terms of square footage, for 2016, we're looking at educational facilities to increase 3% to 127 million square feet. And for next year, we're looking at a 9% gain to 138 million square feet.
Nice.
One of the big pluses that we had in the most recent November elections was the fact that in the state of California, there was the $9 billion Proposition 51 passed, which should support increased K-12 construction in that state. And previously, we've been seeing a number of major construction bond measures passed around the country, particularly in Texas, where K-12 school construction has been quite strong. But, you know, overall for the educational building market, it has been slow to get going in terms of expansion. So we still feel that at least has another, you know, couple of years ahead of it in terms of growth. You know, basically that is kind of the key to our overall construction picture, in that for 2017 and 2018, more of the publicly financed project types will be contributing to the continued expansion.
Mm-hmm. And so especially in light of this election and who won the president-elect, do you think that's going to beef up the spending on the public side?
You know, I think that remains to be seen. Okay. I mean, as we try to assess what is the impact of the election on construction, we were dealing with a lot of general proposals and we're still waiting for the specifics to come forth. That being said, you know, certainly I think one of the top priorities of the incoming Trump administration is to repeal the Affordable Care Act. That uncertainty regarding Obamacare, at least over the next year or so, and what's going to replace it, will dampen health construction in the very near term. And that is one of the changes that we've made in our forecast, certainly after the election compared to what we had before. Before the election, we were looking at a modest increase in health care construction. It's been pretty much stuck at a middling plateau, if you will. But now with the continued uncertainty as far as what is going to be replacing Obamacare, we feel that the best that healthcare can do would be to hold steady, and we're probably looking at some slippage in 2017.
Well, but for overall for 17, you're thinking that's going to be a better year for construction spending than 16, right?
Well, I think we're going to be seeing growth in construction spending overall. I mean, our estimate in terms of total construction activity is for a 5% increase. And again, if you take out the volatile categories of manufacturing plant construction and also electric utilities and gas plants, we're looking at an 8% gain in terms of construction growth.
Bob, that's fantastic. Appreciate you sharing this with us. And again, been talking to Bob Murray, the chief economist with Dodge Data and Analytics, about his forecast for 2017. And you've been listening to Kemphar and FloridaLA.net.